You for your support over many years, prayer support as well as financial support. Somebody said it was good to see you again. Well, this is the first time I've ever been here, but good to see you too. Amen. And I was sitting there tonight thinking about what I was going to say in preparation for the message and everything, and I see many men and women who have sacrificed because of the years that we've been in the military ministry. And you say, well, what have they sacrificed? You know, I got to thinking about Christ came and he knew that he was going to die. He came to die. But you know, military folks are hoping that they don't die. They're willing to, but they hope they don't. And we see that big difference in them, that they're willing to sacrifice their life, and we get letters all the time from folks. Now, the people that I minister to at Spangdahlem Air Force Base they do a lot of different types of military work. We had a couple men in our church that were A-10 pilots. If you know anything about A-10s, they're close combat. And they were involved in combat in Iraq and some other countries. But for the most part, these men were willing to go. And many of them, when they left our church, they PCS somewhere else, they did go into battle. They were tested. And I get letters all the time. Well, so-and-so, you know, we may have witnessed to him, and he may have come through our church when he was PCS to Spangdahlem Air Force Base, and he was killed in action, and we have sometimes gotten videos of families that have said, you know, how sorry they are that so-and-so was shot down or killed, and it breaks my heart to know that people are willing to do that, and sometimes we just don't care. Amen. A lot of times we don't even think about them, and it sort of breaks my heart. And I know everybody has their specialty. Amen. And your specialty is Chesterton and surrounding area, and probably if I was to talk to many of you, you would say this is the hardest spot on earth to minister, because you're involved in this. We heard this morning from Brother Dan, and he said Japan is hard. Well, you've not lived in Germany, amen, or Luxembourg or France, in Baltimore. I moved from a little town in Kentucky to go to Baltimore. People ask me, what's wrong with you? I said, well, it's got to be God. Amen. And we sure do appreciate everything that you've done for us. Appreciate you allowing the men and ladies to come over and to help us with the ministry there. And I do appreciate the Bible school, Brother Vogelin, coming over and preaching for us. And it's just amazing to see that people still have military folks on their mind when so many folks just blot them out. So I sure do appreciate everything that you've done. My wife did pass away in September the 18th of 16. And it took me a while to get over that. We were married for 52 years, was in the ministry for 50 years. We started in 1971 to go to Kentucky to start a church. And God really blessed. And we saw many folks saved, several called into the ministry. That's been a blessing. But with her passing, it gave a void in my life. we were not only married, but we were in love. Amen. And she worked alongside of me. I say alongside many times. She was out in front. She was a big encouragement to me, especially as we was at our first church for 16 years. And we went to our second church, which we thought we'd be at the first church forever. We thought we'd be at the second church forever. We thought we'd be in Germany forever. And now the Lord's got me in Baltimore. I don't understand that. But I know that God knows best. Our house in Kentucky was just remodeled because the doctors in Germany told us that she was going to come home. It was best for her to come home, say goodbye to family and friends. And they thought she would probably pass away in just a couple months. But it was 3 years that the Lord gave us here. And we was able to minister up at Fort Dix for a while. And then we went down to Jacksonville, North Carolina, and ministered there for a while. And the doctor told us, now, when you get home, you're not supposed to travel. And she said, I don't care what the doctors say. And I left it up to her. She said, just like the pastor said, I said, what is there else to do? Amen? You can't just sit home. People ask me at 76, when are you going to retire? I hope never. I would probably do whatever I'm doing now, retiring. I do live in a senior living facility now in Baltimore. That's because I don't like to mow the grass, rake the leaves, or change the light bulbs. It's also a place to minister. Amen. And, we sure do appreciate God's goodness to us. And, let's turn to John chapter 4. Just, something tonight, and I notice there's not a clock. Does somebody go like that or? I know, pastors usually say, take as long as you want. They've never had me preach before. But, John chapter 4, and I realize this is a missions conference, and, you know, missionaries do more than just get folks saved. We establish churches. We try to start churches so that other people will come in and maybe take over that church, and people have to be established. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of different types of thought that goes on in a lot of churches. My wife and I was in Cuba. Down there, when instead of saying amen, they go like this. That's their way of saying amen. In Baltimore, in the church, guys will shout out, amen, preach. In Kentucky, they holler, fling her down. I don't know how that got started, but that's Kentucky. Amen. And people raise their hands, and there's different dress standards and everything. And as we travel different churches, we find out sometimes that we may be offensive. Now, I don't want to be offensive at all, but I do want to stick to Scripture. Amen? And if the Scripture offends, then that's your problem with God. Amen? But I don't want to offend, but every once in a while I may go like that. That does not mean tell me a secret. Okay? That means say amen or something. I need to know you're out there and not asleep. Okay. And people, like I say, people do it differently, but, I do think that this passage of Scripture is worth listening to, praying about, and becoming involved in. Amen. So in John chapter 4, let's stand just for a reading of a couple of verses here. In John chapter 4, verse number 21, it says, and I think we all know the story, so we won't read a lot of Scripture. But it said, Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Verse number 22, ye worship, ye know not what. Now, I think that's the predicament of a lot of people in the United States today. If statistics are true, 2/3 of the population of the world has never heard a clear explanation of the plan of salvation. They've heard be born again. They've heard a lot of different things, but they've never heard a clear explanation that you're a sinner. You deserve to die. You deserve to go to hell forever. And Christ came and he paid your penalty. And we go on with that. That's what people need to hear instead of just say, hold my hand and pray this prayer. Amen? But there are a lot of churches and I'm not in a lot of churches, but the churches I've been in since I've been back from Germany have changed over the years. And some of them, as a matter of fact, we had one church, which sad to say was the church that my wife and I where we met, sent us all their King James Bibles because the pastor there said that we're the only ones he knew of that was still preaching out of the King James. Now that's sad. Amen. Amen. Okay. I didn't know if I was stepping on toes here or not. But I did look at your web page before I come to make sure. But we have to realize that there are some people that worship they know not what. And that's the people sometimes that I've got a real heart for. Because they believe that they're going to go to heaven. They think that they're going to go to heaven. They think they made preparation, but they've not made biblical preparation. Let's continue. We know, Christ said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers, did you get that phrase? The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him, what's the next word? Must. Important word. They must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we're thankful now for your many blessings to us. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, for the opportunity of being here. Lord, we pray now that as we have this missions emphasis time, Lord, that you may bless, lead, guide. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to understand your word as was preached this morning. Give us compassion for souls, not only to be saved, but growing in the grace and knowledge of God. Be with us now. Lord, I pray that we might each one allow your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've been preaching in independent Baptist churches, and I'm concerned about biblical integrity. I don't see a whole lot of it in a lot of different ways. We looked, as my wife and I came back from Germany, we looked and tried to find churches that stick with Bible truths, that have soul-winning organizations within the church that encourage to win souls. That's what we're commanded to do. Amen? I was also interested in standards. We believe Christians ought to look like Christians. We believe men ought to look like men. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we had in our church in Germany was if you're in a position of leadership, men had to wear a necktie. A lot of folks don't like that, but I think what we needed to do was allow folks to know we're different. Amen? Ladies must wear proper attire, modest. And a lot of folks don't like that, but that's scripture. And a lot of times what we do is we interfere with the workings of God because we don't want to make folks feel bad. Well, if God's word makes them feel bad, let them feel bad. That may be conviction of the Holy Spirit. It may be that God is working on our heart to help us to understand that as Christians, we are different. We're separated from the world. We have a, we don't just have different standards. We've got a different heart that produces standards. Amen? And a lot of times we don't see that in churches. And I looked at this portion of scripture and it says, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the first thought that came to my mind as I was sitting over in Baltimore Thursday was that a lot of people don't understand church because they don't know God. I was talking to some folks about worship this afternoon as we was eating. As a matter of fact, the pastor and his family took us out to eat last night. Somebody took me out to eat this afternoon. There was a bunch of stuff in my room to eat, and I can honestly say that I'm fed up. Amen. as we were sitting there, I was telling them about my marriage, and we talked about worship, and I was thinking about to have a proper marriage, you need to know your wife, and your wife needs to know you. Amen. Well, I was weak, but anyway, you need to know them. I met my wife when I was in the eighth grade. She was in the eighth grade. I was saved in a Methodist church, and we got out of the Methodist church because of bad doctrine, and we went to an independent Baptist church with some family members went to. I walked into the Quinton Baptist church, and I saw this young lady sitting on the front row of the choir, and I thought, she's something. I thought the Lord had sent an angel. Amen. She was beautiful. I've got pictures to prove it. Amen. And you may think your wife is beautiful, and she probably is somewhat nice looking. But to me, everybody other than that young lady was Brussels sprouts. And we just, over a period of years, we fell in love. But you know, I really wanted her to love me. I wanted her to know that even in the eighth grade, I wanted her to know that I was truly interested in her. So I had to learn some things about her to be able to tell her that I loved her. I had to know what kind of flower she appreciated getting. Because I was going to get her some flowers. The first time I bought her flowers, I was a freshman in high school. And I bought her flowers. Long story, but anyway, I brought her flowers. I needed to know what color she liked. I needed to know what color her eyes was by memory. Amen? Because it's going to come up. I needed to know different things about her to know that I was interested in her. And there's a lot of folks today that say they're Christian that are not even interested in God enough to find out what he's like. To find out what he wants. They blame the church. Amen. Well, that church has got standards. Well, it's not because of the church, it's because of God. God is a holy God. That means he is so far separated from us, that's what makes him holy. He's perfect in every way. And he tells us, that's what sometimes gets us in trouble. Because we try to obey God. We try to do what he says. We try to do what he commands. And many times we're ostracized because of it. And a lot of times it comes from church people. Amen? Where I'm from in Kentucky, there's a lot of different types of churches. As a matter of fact, when I left Kentucky, I just moved to Baltimore February the 1st of this year. And when I left Kentucky, London, the town that I lived in, the county, Laurel County, had 47 Southern Baptist churches. 47. Not one of them averaged over 35 people. Isn't that a shame? You know what produced those, all those people? Was a difference of opinion. One of them, the Salem Baptist Church, split, moved to the other side of the graveyard, and built New Salem Baptist Church. The only thing that separated them was a bunch of dead people. And just from observation of a few folks that I know from those two churches, some of the dead people are still in the church. Do y'all get what I'm talking about? They don't know God. They argue over little things. Things that are non-essential. Because they don't trust God. They don't believe God. Matthew chapter 9 tells us that when we're married, we're two people. We're become one. Well, we're Christians. We are Christ-like. Amen. Christ-like. What does that mean? That means everything is like Christ. We try to, now we'll never reach that ultimate goal. By the way, we were married for 52 years and once in a while I missed a goal. Amen. I could tell by sometimes the look on her face. Sometimes it was her attitude towards me. And other times she would just blatantly tell me, straighten up. And we need to do the same thing with God. We'll never be perfect, but that ought to be our goal. That ought to be our aim. That in every way, it comes from our mind. It comes from our heart. It comes from our love of God, our love of Jesus, our love of the Holy Spirit, and our desire to have that power in us that only God can give. That ought to be our motivation. But a lot of times what happens is we try to talk to folks and we get that disgusting frown. You ever get that on visitation? I knocked on the door in Baltimore and I said, we're out visiting for the Calvary Baptist Church. And we'd like to know if you're a church, if you attend church. And he said, no. And I said, well, we'd like to invite you to come to our services. And if you got a minute, we'd like to explain the plan of salvation. And he got this disgruntled look on his face. Amen. You know what he was saying? I don't care what you have. I don't want to hear it. I believe that I'm all right, all by myself. When I knew in my heart, he was definitely wrong. Because I knew what the scripture said. It's not because I was better. It's not because I was more well-dressed. It was not because I had this eloquent voice. Amen. It was because I knew the truth. And people do not want to hear the truth. That's the reason I don't listen to the news that much. Because there is no news. It's all opinion. What does this guy believe? Have you ever looked at a can I do this? Have you ever listened to a liberal news organization that had a conservative that they didn't interrupt? No. I've never seen it. But in the same sense, I've never seen a conservative news that let a liberal talk. You know why? Because they all want their own opinion brought out. Well, see, ours is not an opinion. It's the Word of God. That takes away all opinion. It does away with everything else. We have to know God to worship Him properly. Isn't that what Scripture says? You must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's something that we have to do. It's something that God desires, and our goal is to please God. Is that not right?
Our lives need to be pleasing to God. Our thoughts need to be pleasing to God. Our attitudes need to be pleasing to God. Everything in our life ought to revolve around, does God like what I'm doing or does he dislike what I'm doing? And if he does dislike it, get it right. Straighten up. Amen. My dad used to tell me that all the time. Boy, straighten up. What did he mean? He meant you do what I want you to do. Amen. And that's what God wants. God wants us. Isn't that a sign of love? Jesus said, if ye love me, what? Keep my commandments. People that, and to be honest with you, people that don't obey God don't love him. Can you think of anything else, an alternative? Are there some other suggestions that we could get? No. God says it all. Amen. He's pretty blunt. And he'll be just as blunt at the judgment. When he judges us by this word that we're supposed to live by down here. Now, I'm not preaching to you. I'm telling you what we should preach as missionaries to our people so that they can grow. And I may be preaching to you. But God wants us to realize he's in charge. And let me relate something when I was married. When I didn't do something that my wife, when I did something that my wife didn't like I said, I knew about it. Amen. Through various means. But what she was telling me was, if you really love me, you'll do what I like. Now, I had an option at that point. Amen? I could either live in fear of my life. I mean, I would live in fear of offending her. That was a mistake, that first part. But I might be offensive. And let me tell you, when I found out sometimes what she wanted, I put on my own thing. You know? Like her flower was a cymbidium. Before she told me that her flower was a cymbidium, I thought that was a planet. I didn't know it was a plant. But I found out she liked the cymbidium. But you know, there are more expensive types of those types of flowers than cymbidiums. And she told me what color she liked. It was white with those, I called them red speckles. They were almost like freckles on the flower, on the petals. Well, I thought one time that she would like something else better. That was a mistake. Amen? Because I knew what she wanted, but I thought what I wanted, listen to me, I thought what I wanted would enhance her appreciation of what she really wanted. It didn't work. I believe we do the same thing with God. We try to enhance his ministry. Listen, God's ministry is God's ministry. We have no say in it. We cannot add anything to it. We cannot subtract from it. We can do a lot with it, within certain bounds, but God wants what he wants. As a matter of fact, I heard a preacher make this statement. I think we was in Belgium and we was at a conference over there, and he said it's either God's way or the highway. And I thought, well, that's kind of cruel. But you know, I got to thinking about it. That's right. We either do things God's way or there's something wrong with the ministry. When we try to change God's mind about something because we think we're better or have a better type of ministry, we're wrong. Amen? But we must have a knowledge of God. We must realize that He's in charge and that He's got His own way. Now with somebody else, they may be wrong. Even my wife could be wrong. I would tell her that. But God is not wrong. God is always right. It's His ministry. It's His world. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And we need to be obedient. A lot more we could say about that. But also, we need to remember our love for God is important. How much do we really love God? Not only our knowledge of God, but our love for God. Do you really love God? Now, I can tell by most of you. I've talked to a lot of you, sometimes shorter and sometimes longer, but I've talked to you, and I believe this is a church of very sincere people. If you're not sincere, raise your hand. No. Pastor, look. But sometimes our lack of love for God and His ways hinder our ministry, what we do for God down here, but it also limits our reward in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I, at 76, I'm thinking more about heaven than I ever have. I hope my dad's in heaven, not sure. No fruit in his life, said he was saved, no fruit in his life whatsoever. My wife, my mother is 96. And pray for her, will you please? She still drives a car. Now she lives out in the country in New Jersey, but she still, as a matter of fact, the last time I was up there, she said, let's go out and look at new cars. I said, Mom, you don't need a new car. Now, the only thing I did like about her getting a new car would be that little camera in the back that shows up on your dashboard. I'm trying to find out how to get one of them put in her 2001 Chevy. Amen. But that's the only thing I really... She don't need a new car. She don't need to go fast. She don't even need to go often. Amen? But she has those... I don't know how I got off on that. But I love her. And try to do the best for her. And sometimes we need to realize our love for God shows. It shows not only to God, but it shows to other people. It shows, you know, thinking about the marriage situation, I see that clock now. Okay. I thought it would be funny if he didn't have a clock here somewhere. Is that the right time though? Is it? I was thinking about marriage and that concept. We don't want anybody, how many of you like your attitude towards your wife for everybody to know about that? Or husband. If we've got bad attitudes toward each other, we like to keep it secret. Amen? Come on, you can say amen if you want. We like to keep it secret. We don't want anybody knowing that we may have problems somewhere along the line, or when those stupid kids come along, amen. We've got double trouble, but we don't like to advertise that. But you know that's exactly what we do with God. We show folks on a daily basis either if we love God or if we don't love God. And there's plenty of scripture, and we won't get into all those tonight, but there are plenty of scripture that shows that We can have opposition to God. But it shouldn't be. God wants us to be holy, separate. He wants us to be loving, not only toward Him, but toward one another. Amen. It's hard to be loving to some folks, isn't it? I moved from a very conservative town in Kentucky, London, Kentucky, small town, and moved to Baltimore, and I noticed the difference in the driving habits. In Baltimore, if your car is 13 foot long, they can pass you and pull into a spot in front of you going 80 miles, or what's the speed limit? Whatever the speed limit, 60 miles an hour. They can pull in front of you if you've only got 15 foot from your car to the car in front of you. Well, isn't there a law that you're supposed to be at least one car length for every 10 miles? They disregard it, and it makes me mad. I've got a license to carry in 47 states. But when I do carry, I know that the flesh gets in me so much that I've got a vault in my car that I put my gun in. Amen. Don't worry about it. I live in Baltimore now, and you can't carry a gun there if you've got a permit to. Anyway. Sad state of affairs. That's one thing. I'm going to have a ministry to the military, and I'm going to support the NRA like I never have before. Amen. But we need to understand, sometimes we do get mad. Sometimes the flesh does come up, but we need to suppress it. We need to get it under control. Why? Because we're supposed to love our fellow man as well as love God. Isn't that the second commandment? And if people see you out there committing road rage, do not have a Jesus Loves Me bumper sticker. Okay? Have one for dead cats or something. But don't tell everybody you're a Christian and have road rage because some idiot cut you off. In Baltimore, too, I have to get used. Every time you come up to a red light, there's somebody that wants to wash your window. You can even buy cell phones as you wait for the green light. They sell everything from flowers to cell phones. I think they would even sell you real estate. The best thing to do is get in the turn lane, and if somebody walks to your car, make the turn. That makes me mad. I mean, I'm driving down the road. I don't want a cell phone. I've got one. I don't want flowers. I don't want my windshield washed. It just makes me mad. And I've got to learn, put a smile on my face, shake my head. No, do not touch my window. Amen. But we need to act like Christians. And many times we don't. And it shows our lack of love. And we already quoted, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But it also says the other way, if you don't keep my commandments, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Put that one in your pipe and smoke it. Amen? That's pretty difficult when he gives us both sides and he comes down with that condemnation that you don't love me. We need to love God. That's the only way we can worship Him in spirit and in truth, is to love Him. The last thing, I've got 7 minutes, if this clock is right. The last thing I noticed was that there's no fear of God. You know, a lot of people just don't fear God. That's the reason I got saved when I was in the eighth grade. Actually, the first part of the eighth grade. We had an evangelist come to our church and he preached the fear of God. And I was afraid I was going to go to hell. I mean, I needed to get saved that night. Why? Because of fear. There's a lot of things we need to fear. Amen. And there's a lot of that we need to fear God. Why? Because snakes. I found a snake skin where I usually park my car there in Baltimore. In the city, man, there was a snake skin laying there. Somebody said, was it poisonous? I don't care if it was poisonous. I just don't like snakes. My grandfather, I grew up on a dairy farm in New Jersey, and he loved snakes. They kept the mice out of the corn crib, out of the feed sacks. Are y'all with me? I don't know enough about snakes to identify whether they're poisonous or not. So I'm afraid of all of them. I just don't want to be around them. We moved to Kentucky, lived on the big branch of Troublesome Creek. My son came into church, had a styrofoam cup, and had a snake in it that he had found in the creek. He put it about that far from my wife's nose. We had a snake in our church for about 3 days. Amen. I don't know what he did, but I do know when I caught up with him, he was in four pieces. I didn't want him around. Amen. My wife got scared and raised her hands, and the cup went out of his hand. The snake went. Anyway, we need to fear some things. And if you don't fear God, you're in trouble. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the what? Whole, not H-O-L, W-H-O-L-E, the whole duty of man. Boy, if that don't straighten you out, I don't know what will. The fear of God. We need to fear God and keep his commandments. Do we do that? Are we instrumental in allowing other folks to know that we do that so that we can be a testimony to them? We need to know God. We need to love God, but we also need to fear God, because one day we will stand before God and give an account of everything that we've ever done in our bodies, whether it be good or bad. Well, if that don't scare you, huh? If we tell God something that we did that he just don't appreciate, and he takes away whatever, however that happens, takes away blessings or doesn't give us blessings, I'm not exactly sure what happens there, but we suffer somehow before that's the reason for judgment. Amen. Yeah. We need to be ready to give an account of ourselves. And part of it with me is fearing what's going to happen one day when I stand before God and give an account. Whew. I got goosebumps just thinking about it. I mean terror. I don't want to lose reward. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Even though I'm not perfect, make a bunch of mistakes. Probably made a bunch of them since I've been up here. But God wants us to fear him. Fear the judgment and the lack of reward that we may get. If we don't fear God and do something down here, we're liable to put ourselves in a place where God will not answer our prayers. Where he will not bless us. We've been missionaries since 1971. We've had to rely on prayer, rely on other folks. And I had a church call me and say, listen, our church is dwindling, and they were all old people. When I went to Germany in 2000, they're older now. A lot of them have passed on. They don't have new people in the church. They called me and said, listen, we're going to have to drop your support. I said, listen, God is the one that's promised to meet my needs. Amen. Not the church. Now, I appreciate churches that mind God and do support us. But I want you to realize God is the one I have to please so that I get support. Because it's a blessing. If you disobey God, there are consequences. But a lot of people think, well, God is up in heaven and he's blind. No, he's not. Do you realize that God, you will be judged by even the thoughts that you have? Well, that ought to curb a lot of TV shows, a lot of music that we listen to. We need to train ourselves to fear God. I don't know about you, but I want to show folks that I love God, that I fear God, and I have a knowledge of what God wants so that I can be more pleasing to Him day by day. And that's what we try to do as missionaries, is try to help folks to understand you not only need to be saved, but you need to live like you're saved. Let's have a word of prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just very quickly. And let's stand as we pray.